My name is Don Phillips. I was in the United States Air Force and had worked with certain intelligence agencies of the United States government. Prior to my Air Force, prior to joining the Air Force, I worked for the famous Lockheed Skunk Works. And I was working for them when I was attending college, and I worked for them in the capacity as a design engineer. It was one of my proudest moments of my life to work with a man by the name of Kelly Johnson. A lot of you might be familiar with that. It turns out that the models of aircraft that we were building, as you know, were all classified, were in the deep black, and that I came in on the end of the U-2 project. My main project was known later as the SR-71. The SR-71 had a predecessor. It had a special model built for the CIA, and that those models were one passenger, one pilot, special aircraft in order to get from one place to another very, very quickly. Now, these SR-71s, as we know them, the Blackbird, are the type of aircraft that are still classified in a sense as far as the altitude that it flies at and also the speed records that it holds. I'm very proud to say that this aircraft played a big part in helping to end the Cold War. The aircraft, the predecessor aircraft, there's strong evidence to suggest that perhaps these aircraft had a different role once in the air. Each pilot, and I knew a few of them, each pilot had an assignment before they took off, okay? They learned about the assignment immediately prior to takeoff, and there's strong evidence to suggest that there was a dual role in that they were monitoring some type of traffic to and from planet Earth. This can be verified at a later point. I'll jump into my military experience. My first field assignment for the United States Air Force was at Las Vegas Air Force Station, and that was my first experience with Las Vegas, and I couldn't understand why people were being so excited about going to a place such as this, but I soon found out about a year later. Nellis Air Force Base is located there. Nellis is a major training center for different types of special aircraft and fighter aircraft, one of the premier training sites for pilots all around the world. However, when I learned that my assignment was at a radar site 50 miles out of town up near Mount Charleston, I had no idea where I'd be, so finally in the daylight I was able to find the location and reported in 1965 for duty. In 1966, early in the morning, about 1 to 2 a.m., I was staying there on base, and our barracks were at about 8,000 feet. I heard a lot of commotion. You know, at that altitude, sound carries. Sound carries tremendously. And I thought, well, it's early in the morning, it's summertime, and there is a lot, it's very warm, and maybe I should get up and take a look. I didn't really want to, but I got up and took a look, walked up to the main road up near my office, which was the commander's office. I was on the commander's staff, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Evans. And who's making all this noise? Who's making all this noise at this time of the morning? So when I got within about 50 yards of the four or five people that were standing there, one being the chief of security, they were looking up in the air, and I says, gee, their heads are all looking at the same direction. Well, I looked up to the west, northwest, and to my amazement, there were lights flashing around the sky, moving at anywhere from what seemed like 2,400 to about 3,800 miles per hour. Now, the fact that we're taking an estimate from a distance, we figured, well, this is quite something. However, we continued to watch these darting lights go across the sky and stop absolutely stop, come to a dead stop, and reverse in an acute angle their direction, and then proceed on in sort of, they were traveling so fast that you could almost see a pattern left by, if you are computer people, when you move a mouse real quick across the screen, you see a little bit of a tail. Well, that's exactly the way these six or seven craft work. After 5 minutes of watching these things, they all seemed to group up to the west, northwest. Okay? They started to come in on a circle. But what I would like to point out is that where they were putting on their display in the north-northwest sky, just directly east of that is what is known as Area 51. Area 51 is a AEC name, okay? Atomic Energy Commission. That was the old name for Atomic Energy Commission. We knew it as the Groom Lake Flight Test Facility in the Air Force. And it was where we tested our aircraft after we got the prototype made from the Skunk Works. So here are these, let's get back to the circle in the sky. What they did was coalesce and started rotating in a circle, and then they disappeared. Well, I thought, gee, this is something that we have to keep quiet, and that was verified by the chief of security. But we waited there and talked over for a little bit, and it seemed like, I think it was an hour. Then came the radar people from the scopes, which were at 10,000 plus feet, came down for their dinner at 2 o'clock in the morning. And the first person off the bus was a good friend of mine, Anthony Kasar. He said, he was white as a sheet, and he says, did you see that? Yeah, we all said, yeah, it was a nice display. What a show. He says, we documented them on radar. He says, we didn't give them clearance. We just, the standing order was let them fly through the radar beam. He says, we documented 6 to 7 UFOs. Now, we don't know who was guiding those, but they were certainly intelligent, and we don't know where they landed because they coalesced and disappeared. So I will say at this point, to keep it short, that I will testify under oath as to what I say is true, and I will do so before Congress. Thank you.